Intro to Digital Archaeology.
Intro to Digital Archaeology.
Intro to Digital Archaeology.
HIST 3000.
At Carleton University.
With Professor Sean Graham.
Hi, everybody. This week you're going out into the field. But which field? When I was a kid, there was a graveyard on the other side of the dirt road from our farm. It had about 6 or 7 headstones and an old wrought iron fence that surrounded the little plot. There was one stone flat on the ground at the center of the graveyard. It was almost like a lid. In fact, now that I think about it, it was probably a family vault with the soil backfilled around it making the little hump. And that would explain why this little burial ground was so much higher than the surrounding fields. Even when we bury our dead, we change the environment around us. That graveyard fascinated me as a kid. Who were these people? Where did they come from? Where did they live? Was my house their house? This was probably where my own journey into archaeology began, trying to understand how this little graveyard related to my house, my farm, the nearby river, the town. I didn't go into that graveyard very often, though. I was just a kid, and frankly, the place terrified me. Mortuary archaeology, as I understand it, is about the study of burial customs and human remains. And this week, we begin our graveyard project, which is a kind of mortuary archaeology. There are a lot of ethical issues involved. Some of them are obvious, involving things like obtaining permission to go wandering over what is quite often still private property. Some are more subtle, like what obligations do we owe to the people we are studying and to their descendants? Some issues only become apparent once we start obtaining data en masse, which is to say that the ethical issue emerges as we draw conclusions based on entire populations. So, our fieldwork begins in this field. Which field? Well, ideally, there is a graveyard not too far from where you are that is accessible and for which you can reasonably obtain permission to study. If you're in a smaller town, you might just be able to call up the office for the church or other institution responsible for the graveyard. For rural family plots like the one across the road from my childhood home, well, it could be more difficult. Some graveyards are run by modern corporations and likely won't be bothered in the least if you quietly and respectfully begin to record information from the stones. Figuring this out for your situation will be your first challenge. Recording the information will be your second challenge. The digital recording forms that I've created for you will work offline. You'll need to bring a smartphone or laptop with you with the forms preloaded and bookmarked. You could just use our recording scheme with a paper notebook as well. Totally counts as digital archaeology. You know, digital archaeology doesn't always mean you have a device at every turn in the road. The recording scheme that we'll use was developed in Britain. You might find that it has assumptions about the study populations that are not always warranted for our context. Pay attention to when things don't fit. You know, my archaeological background is in Roman materials from central Italy, 1st to 3rd centuries. My background was in petrology and mineralogy and epigraphy and social networks. Canadian burials were not my area. So, as you go out this week, I will be going out this week as well. I will be making recordings and going through all of the same issues that you are going through. All of our data gets collated into a central database, and then when we're finished this phase of our course, those results will be made available to you, and in fact, some of the later tutorials and exercises that we do will depend on this data. Now, it might not be feasible for you to get out to a graveyard at all, and that's completely fine. In the notes for this week, in the website for this week, you'll see that there is an alternative project envisioned, which is a kind of digital archaeology that works through materials that other people have collected. So that is a completely feasible and appropriate project to work on if getting out into the field, such as we've imagined it, can't work for you. And, you don't have to tell me why, right? So if you choose to do the alternative, not a problem. Graveyards are liminal spaces, and given the ways our cities have grown, are now sometimes in very out-of-the-way or otherwise dodgy places, too. So when you go out, if you go out, ideally have someone from your social bubble go with you. Always tell people where you are going, when you'll be back. Carry a smartphone with you. As the weeks go by, we will be joined in these podcasts by a series of archaeologists working in many different facets of archaeology and digital archaeology. And the reason I invited all these folks to come and chat with me is because it's really important that you hear about archaeology from voices other than my own. So, each archaeologist that I've invited, I've asked them to answer the same 5 questions. This week, we're joined by Robin Lacey.
Hello, my name is Robin Lacey, and I am a historic archaeologist currently working in CRM, which is Cultural Resource Management in Ontario. I am currently working on publishing my first book, which is based on my master's research with some other things thrown in there. I'm also working, I just signed a contract to write my second book, which I'm really excited about. And I am also preparing to start my PhD in historic archaeology, focusing on mortuary studies because most of my research focuses on burials. I got started in mortuary archaeology in my undergrad. I went into my undergrad in archaeology sort of being interested in maritime archaeology, and I was really interested in Mesoamerican studies, so I went to Calgary because their department's known for that, but I decided that I wanted to do a field school in a specific place rather than on a specific topic, and I went to Ireland and the Isle of Man with the University of Liverpool, and the first thing that we did at that field school was spent 2 weeks in County Monaghan in the northeast of the Republic of Ireland recording cemeteries, and basically after those 2 weeks, I completely shifted everything I wanted to do with my research. This was after the first year of my undergrad, but I get pretty set on ideas, and I'm still here starting my PhD looking at burial practices and landscape of deathscapes, I guess you could call them. I think a challenge facing mortuary archaeology at the moment is focusing on this idea of the good death, particularly of white settlers. When we talk about 17th century colonial settlements, which is where a lot of my research focuses, what you get is a whitewashed idea of what the 17th century colonies were like. But of course, they weren't all white people that were coming here. There were black people, there were other people of color, there were indigenous people that were living in and around these communities as well. And their death practices and their attitudes towards mortality and their understanding of death within their families and within their communities should not be whitewashed. And that's something I'm interested in looking at with my PhD research, is just like by not saying that they weren't all white, we assume, and that's wrong, and that's definitely a problem you get when reading documents about this sort of thing. So I'm really interested in looking at all of the cultural practices that were being put into play as early as the 17th century for colonial settlements. Something that really bothers me about working in mortuary archaeology and sort of public archaeology is just the ideas that people get, because there's not enough information about what we do available to the public. Obviously, that skews what people know about archaeology overall. But particularly for mortuary archaeology, if you start talking to anyone about graveyards or cemeteries. They tell you about their friend who restored gravestones. They tell you about their own attempts to restore gravestones, particularly with volunteer organizations. And that is wonderful. And volunteers are the people doing most of the restoration and cleaning of these historic sites. But it becomes a problem when the information isn't there that they can update their conservation and restoration techniques for gravestones. And then we end up dealing with an awful lot of poor restoration that can't be rectified in the future and actually does more damage to the gravestones themselves. Personally, my vendetta is against concrete. Feel free to ask me more about that. But I am trying to make as much conservation information possible for people to get their hands on, regardless of whether or not they are professional conservators or in academia, because gravestones are there for everyone, and everyone, historic gravestones are sort of kept by volunteer groups and they're kept by the public, and that is not, there's nothing wrong with that. I love the question about failures in archaeology, and it's definitely something that we as like early career researchers and graduate students should understand that it happens and understand other people's stories, so that when our own research goes a little weird sometimes, we can understand why and how to grow from that. My own master's research was partially based around looking for the 17th century burial grounds at the colony of Avalon at Fairland in Newfoundland. And I spent 10 weeks over the course of my master's doing very calculated excavations and ground penetrating radar survey. At the end of the 10 weeks, we had not located any of the burials, or everyone would have heard about it by now, but I still got my master's degree. So it all works out fine in the end. I think what makes me really happy and hopeful about archaeology is all of the enthusiasm that people have in the field, even when working in CRM, when we're in fairly difficult working conditions, and when it's incredibly hot in Ontario, we're still there to do a job, and we're there to do what we can to protect the heritage of an area and the archaeology of an area before a development comes through and potentially destroys something that would be irreplaceable to the archaeological record. So, yeah, that's what I really like. And I also really enjoy teaching the public about the research that I've got going on, that my colleagues and friends have going on. And just my own enthusiasm, I hope, spreads a little bit of excitement. And every other public archaeologist I know as well will probably tell you similar things.